الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Ikhwan, it was scheduled that I would give a presentation at this time, but one of the brothers who is traveling, our party, Abu Muhammad, his wife is in labor, so we want to go back inshallah ta'ala so that he can take care of his responsibility. And it reminds me of what the Sheikh Abu Hassan Isam al-Kuti Hazratullah ta'ala had made a point concerning it, and I thought it was an excellent point, and it showed his deep understanding and fiqh of al-Islam. And he told us about the time when he was being asked, many brothers, they want to go overseas and they want to study, and sometimes they're married and they have their children and they have their families, and it's very difficult to go overseas without compromising their responsibility to their family, which is primary. He's always encouraged brothers who are not married or brothers who have the ability to travel overseas. He's always encouraged that. But he was trying to make this particular point to the brothers who wanted to travel and go overseas, but they had a lot of children. They had family responsibility, and the question kept coming to him. Anyway, the Sheikh, he had narrated to us an incident in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had traveled, and in the caravan was Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhumah. And when they were returning to Medina, Abdullah ibn Zubayr's wife was pregnant. She wanted to have the baby before entering into Medina. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr wanted to remain with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he can keep traveling to see and learn what to do from the Sunnah. And he used to always love to be with him and in his presence. So when he asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can he go with him? He said, no, you stay with your family and you take care of your family while she's having the baby. So the Sheikh made mention of that issue. And I wanted to mention it here today because many brothers come and they have the desire to go to Medina, they have the desire to travel to other places, and our family responsibilities are going to be compromised. We want to remind the brothers of that issue. So this is one of the reasons why we're going back. So in my parting words and advice to you, I wanted to read and share with you one of the ayat of the Quran. Actually, I was going to talk about this earlier today, and I felt that it would be better to talk about the issue of ar-rifq and being easy. And this is the story or the incident that happened in the Quran. It happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with our mother Aisha, and it's called the story of the great slander. We're not going to get deep into the story. It's only one aspect of this story that we want to deal with, one ayat that we want to deal with. It's in Surah An-Nur, Surah An-Nur, in ayat number 15. Now most everyone knows this story, in which some of the munafiqeen, when they saw our mother Aisha radiallahu anha enter into Al-Madinah with the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anhuma, the hypocrite started to insinuate and allude to the fact that something must have happened between them. Why are they coming in Medina by themselves after the Muslims have arrived? Here they come. Some of the Muslims heard this statement and they began to say it amongst themselves. So the slander began to spread, and it had such a tremendous impact on the community that it almost led to a civil war between the Muslims, between the Ansar. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the people about it, he was told by everyone, your wife is good and that man is good. He asked Ali, what do you think? Ali gave him his advice. Usama ibn Zayd, what do you think? He gave him his advice. He asked Aisha's friend, Burayra, what do you think? He said, I don't know anything about your wife except good. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Masjid and he said, who will help me upon a man? Who will help me? Because the da'wah needs help. These individuals to collectively be responsible. You can't just leave one person in charge of everyone or everything. who will help me in dealing with this issue? So one of the Ansar, he stood up and he said, I don't see why I help you to deal with him, we'll kill him. The one who said it, because they knew that the one who started it from the Manasseh king was from the other side of the Ansar. For some reason, another man from that tribe stood up and said, Wallahi, you're not going to touch him. He's going to stop you from doing anything. Then another man stood up on this side and said, Wallahi, you're a Munafiq, and you're helping the Munafiqeen. So they almost started to fight each other. So even though this was a problem with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the people, okay, forget about it. This is the fitna that the people said about my wife and I want to deal with it, but a bigger fitna has occurred. Forget about it. So he left the issue. Anyway, the point, ikhwan, is it caused a lot of problems. Rasulullah's heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was heavy. Aisha, Abu Bakr, Aisha's mother, all of the believers, just a big fitna because some munafiqeen said some words. So we want to share with you this ayat of the Quran and just explain it and remind you all of the importance of this, especially in light of the conditions that we're living here today. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, ayat number 15, and this is the only aspect that we want to deal with, اتلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. Allah Ta'ala said in this ayah, and remember, when you took the story with your tongue, when you said with your mouth that which you should not have said, you had no knowledge of it, and you thought it was a small thing, you thought it was simple, but it was with Allah a tremendous issue. This is the ayah that we want to share with you. He said, Azza wa Jalla, and remember, you took it with your tongue. If تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, remember you took the story with your tongue. When you said with your mouth that which you have no knowledge of, when you thought it was a small thing, but it was with Allah a tremendous thing. It was عَظِيمٌ. One of the lata'if, or the beautiful explanations of this ayat of the Quran that we want to share with you here today as it relates to what we're doing and what's going on in this environment where people are talking about other people and we're getting involved in issues that we don't have the ability and the expertise to get involved with. And there's a bunch of qila wa qaal, and people are being plucked off of the dawah of al-Islam, the dawah to Salafiyah, and people don't have all of the information. We're taking the statement of the ulama of al-Islam, and we're hitting these statements one with the other, and we're doing al-wala wal-bara based upon this scholar and that scholar, based upon this group and that group. We want to give you the tafsir of this ayat of the Quran to remind you of the danger of being a person who doesn't have all of the information, but you go and you relay what was said to you, and you don't even know half of the story. And you are not qualified to take a position in the issue. From the beautiful explanation of this ayat of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this way of speaking to the people by saying, and remember when you had embraced the statement about Aisha with your tongue. Normally when people hear information, something comes to you as it relates to me, intelligent people, the uqala, the people who have intellect, the people who have some being, they embrace and they take what's being said with their ears. They hear, so-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. They take it with their ears. And then after that, they think about it, and after thinking, they determine, should I say something or should I remain quiet? Is speaking going to bring about benefit, or is it going to be about fitna, going to bring about a problem? So determining what's going to happen, the intellectual, smart people, intelligent people, they say, if it's going to bring benefit, I'm going to talk. If not, I'm going to remain quiet. That's what intelligent people do. People with religion. It is enough that a man is considered to be a liar when he speaks about everything that he hears. Everything he hears, he relays it to someone else. That's enough to be a proof that you are a person who's a liar. That everything, not that you necessarily lie, you create a lie. It is enough to be a liar that everything you hear, you relay it to the next person. So the intellectual person, the intelligent person, he has some sense. He hears it, he decides, does this concern me? Is this for my affairs? And if I'm going to speak, who do I speak to? And what do I say? And maybe speaking is going to bring about a fitness, so I'm not going to say anything. But in this case, the munafiqeen, the people who their Islam, there's some weakness in their Islam. Many of us, what happens is, when we hear the news about this or that, this one or that one, instead of embracing it with our ears, we embrace it with the tongue and we send it right back out. And remember, you took it with your tongue and you just sent it right back out with your mouth without contemplating, considering, what should I do, what should I say, how should I deal about it, with it, who should I raise it up to? So remember, when you embraced this speech with your tongues and you sent it out with your mouth, and you had no knowledge about it, and you thought it was a small affair, but it was a tremendous affair with Allah. As we see here, brothers and sisters, all of us, inside of the citadel of al-Islam, we even include those hukam, those rulers of the Muslims, who may be oppressive or they may not be oppressive. Our aqid and our minhaj even says, a person who is an evildoer, he has the right to be protected inside of that citadel of al-Islam. It's just not the regular Muslim who can be protected inside of that ihsan and that hussein. All of us, every Muslim is inside of that. So our property and our honor is, every Muslim's honor is sacred with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we find the people saying what they're saying about each other, if it doesn't concern you and you can't add good to the situation, we're saying to the brothers and sisters of our da'wah, our advice, our parting words is, busy yourself, ya Abdullah, with your own situation, your own knowledge. Busy yourself with perfecting your own condition. Because in light of all of the kalam that's going on, the Dawah to Salafiyya and the Salafi people, there is a new way and a new direction that we're going in. And if we're not careful, it's going to get worse and worse and worse until only Allah knows how is it going to end. Will it end with the shedding of blood? Will it end with people becoming like the Khawarij? Will it end with people being incapable of having any relationship with each other, even though the dawah is the same dawah that both sides or the different sides are claiming? So clearly, Ikhwan, when people don't have knowledge, and they don't have the skills or the expertise, when they busy themselves in these issues, it creates more problems. So one of the things that we wanted to accomplish in this particular conference, if you can call it that, is we wanted to give ourselves an opportunity to come together in the spirit of the brotherhood of al-Islam, to get some beneficial knowledge, and then to take what we've learned back to wherever we've come from, and to deal with this issue of all of the kalam that we're not qualified to deal with. This kalam of al-jarh wa ta'dil is one of the most difficult sciences and aspects of al-Islam. It is not for every Amr or Bakr or Zayd. It's not for all of us. And we do not run away from the responsibility. There has to be people who take care of the issue of jarh wa ta'dil. We have to know about personality. We have to know about groups. We have to know about people. We have to know about deviant ideas and concepts. But when you make that your whole Islam, your whole da'wah is a jarh wa ta'dil, people invite me to go to the church to give da'wah. They'll invite me to come to expose them to anything. All I'm going to talk about is a jarh wa ta'dil. everything jarh wa ta'deel is not for everyone, and jarh wa ta'deel is not for every place or every time. So there is a level of ghulu that we are falling into. Let's leave the issue of jarh wa ta'deel, which is a real issue in Islam, for the people who are qualified to deal with it. But when we see that we're doing what we're doing, this is why we have much of the confusion. So, my parting word of advice, Ikhwan, is that we busy ourselves with learning about the religion of Islam, those things that are fardu ayn upon all of us, those things that we need to know about. How to read the Quran, memorizing the Quran, the issues of the ibadat of Islam that we all have to deal with. And this issue of jarh wa ta'deel. When we find the ulama of Islam making decisions, we're with the scholars of Islam. But when we find the young people using the statements of the ulama of Islam and selecting who we're going to use, and we're hitting each other, and we're hitting personality, and we're splitting up because of that, then clearly this is from the desire. Now we start to take on the characteristics of the people of innovation. We start to become like that. And the heart become hard, and enmity and hatred, it begins to set in. So we say to the people, as the Sheikh said today, the Sheikh Abdul Malik Ramadani, we start with the smaller knowledges of Islam that we all are in need of. And then we work our way up. The thinking of jump with ideas, we say, leave it to the people who are qualified, because even in my 2 days stay here, I've been approached with these issues about Fulan and Alan. What do you have to say about them? In addition to that, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that, and the same group, people from the same city, will come to me, and 3 of them are saying this about one person, and the other group are saying that about the same person, and they have a split as a result of an individual. There was a time we did not have this issue in the ranks of the Salafi people. It wasn't present in the ranks of the Salafi people. Now this is the topic of the day, the flavor of the month. So my advice, Ikhwan, is there are clear people, they have some issues, they have some problems, we're not afraid of saying that. What the problem we're speaking to today is us making ourselves overly busy with this. Overly busy with this and following people who are also not qualified to take care of this particular knowledge. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us all upon the tarbiyah of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for his companions. And we hope and we pray to Allah azza wa jalla for the opportunity to meet and to see you brothers again. The last thing that we want to mention is that here at QSS we have we're putting on this project and this program. We have accumulated some expenses. We have come up with some expenses. So we would like to take this opportunity, inshallah ta'ala, to sometime today, maybe now, it's up to Abdul Munim. We want to ask all of you to give generously, inshallah, to the cause, for what the brothers have put together here today. And we know that many of you have expenses in coming here and going back. But give whatever you can possibly give, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hopefully will put in your mizana hasanat yawm al-qiyamah. We ask Allah to forgive you and to forgive us. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa nas'al Allah ta'ala at-tawfiq wa s-sadad. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.